Hi, Hanny.
Hi, how are you?
I am so good. How are you?
I am good. It's New Year's Eve Eve. Is that what today is?
New Year's Eve Eve. That is correct.
So yeah, I'm doing good.
Are you so happy to be home from New York?
Dude, I like basically lived in New York, I feel like.
You really did. Did you become a pro?
Yeah. I mean, I am not even kidding. Like, I feel 1,000 times more comfortable and like I basically could live in New York.
I don't doubt it.
I was like, yeah, we just rode the subway everywhere. We were actually, I have a friend in Connecticut, and if our flight got bumped back any further, we had already bought like Grand Central Station, like Amtrak tickets to go stay with her, because I was like, well, this is just getting silly. And she lives in like a really nice house, like an hour train ride from Grand Central Station. So I was like, we just will go stay with Holland if this continues.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, but luckily, yeah, we had to split our flights up a little bit, but we got home. So it was just fine. How was your Christmas?
It was really wonderful.
Right.
Yeah, we had just all the family time, which you know how I feel about that. And it was great. We had so much fun. I am starting to feel like I'm ready to get back to work. But I it was great. I've really enjoyed this time off, and I've been doing calls and like coaching stuff, but I have genuinely been relaxing and doing fun, enjoyable things over this break that I've taken, and it feels amazing. So I feel rejuvenated.
I love that. I love that. I know it's, you're not always like super comfortable with just like chilling, but that's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm really bad at chilling.
That's kind of a good thing, you know?
I'm really bad at chilling. It's something that I've had to work really hard, and I've really focused on it over the last year, that I am trying to get better at it. And don't invite me over to watch a movie by any means, but I can relax better than I could in January of this year. So it's a win.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's a win.
That is awesome. Okay, So we actually previously recorded this episode, but
I talked too much.
I don't know what happened. I think, it was long. I don't know. The app that we record on was like, I'm not sure exactly what happened. So we're re-recording this, but I think that was a good thing. Also, welcome to the Nice Hair Podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Haley.
So we're re-recording this, but it's the same thing that we are doing before. By that, I mean, we had gotten a question last episode that we put out that was like, hey, basically, can you interview or bring on a normal stylist who built their business from scratch, like built their hair extension business from scratch? And basically, I like screenshotted this question. I was like, wait, Haley, isn't that us? But then we both kind of remembered like, oh, everyone may not know exactly like the journey or, you know, how we built our careers. So we should just reintroduce ourselves.
Yes. And retell our stories. And our stories have evolved also as time has gone on. I think it's been almost 2 years since we, maybe even longer than that, actually, since we've gone out of our way to really share who we are, where we came from. So I think it'll be good to hear. And we're not going to torture you and make you go back and listen from the beginning, which was honestly the main reason, because we call that the cringe era. But I did have someone, one of my coaching girls, hand, she was like, please don't delete the last episodes. She was like, I just wanted to tell you how valuable they have been as somebody who has listened for a really long time. And she said, it's just so raw and real. And I connected with it. And she was like, I think you'd be doing such a disservice. And I was like, we aren't actually going to delete them. But it was just really neat and sweet for her to go out of her way to say that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like she actually loved our, she loved our podcast even from the beginning. So I know we had kind of joked about like we should delete all of those episodes, but it was neat.
No, I would never. To me, I want to delete them. Like I want to delete them from my memory.
Yeah, on my behalf.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But I don't even know if I would know how to actually go in and like completely erase those. So they just stay up.
Yeah, and it just is what it is.
Yeah, we are definitely, I think, more composed and better speakers and thinkers, especially me, because I just reeled it back in quite a bit. And but that's how you learn, Haley, too. You know, she has a very, very sweet point of view, but she has the right idea. And that's that, you know, our journeys are, show that we're not perfect. And we, it's hard to learn how to speak publicly or run a business or do anything. So,
yeah. And it also goes to show, too, if anyone can, if we can start a podcast, anyone can start a podcast. You know what I mean?
Literally anyone.
So Sissy is playing with a squeaky toy. So do you hear that?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not mad at her.
Okay. If it gets loud and disruptive, she's trying to rip the squeaker out of it. So I think I'm just going to take it away. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're going to be obnoxious with this thing. I'm just going to take it away because I'll get annoyed. Okay. So we are just going to both reshare our stories. So I had already recorded mine and got a little wordy. So we're going to, I'm going to try to share a more condensed version of that today. So
I think honestly, just the best place to start would be, I think we did this before too, but like, I think we've both had time to reflect. So maybe just give a little bit of like, give us an idea who you were and where you were in life when you first, I guess, started thinking about doing hair, and then like just take us from there.
So I never thought about doing hair, if I'm being honest. I was never the girl that was like, my dream is to be a hairstylist. I had always thought I would go to college, play college soccer, and I would study business or sports management was actually what I initially wanted to go to. I grew up playing sports. I always loved it. So my sophomore year of high school, I was always coloring my hair out of a box with Kool-Aid, all of those things. And my mom had said, hey, I think you need to go to cosmetology school. And I was like, ugh, okay, that's fine. And so we enrolled in it, and I actually didn't get in because it was already full by the time I had enrolled. And my plan was then, once I had decided that maybe that could be an option for me, that I would work my way through college doing hair. And then it was like, well, then I'd always have something to fall back on. And so it ended up a few months later, right before the school year was about to start, somebody had dropped out of the program and it opened up a slot for me and I was able to go. So I went to cosmetology school during my junior and senior year of high school. So my day was split up with my academic classes, or my cosmetology classes in the morning, my junior year, and then my academic classes in the afternoon. And then it flip-flopped my senior year. And so I enjoyed cosmetology school. It made school fun for me. I went from being a BC student to pretty much getting straight A's, because I was just doing stuff that I enjoyed. And I ended up being a lot better at it than I was expecting, at least for cosmetology school standards, right?
Yeah.
And I got pregnant with Ava my junior year, halfway through my junior year. And so that obviously played a huge role in just where the decisions that I would make. I decided I definitely didn't want to go to college from at least right away. I was like, I want to work. I was going to have her right before my senior year started. And so I wanted to just be able to work at least a little bit in the salon and just get used to mom life. So I graduated cosmetology school with a brand new baby. Well, she was, I guess, almost, I don't know, she was like 9 months old when I graduated. And I immediately went into an assisting role in a small salon. And I assisted for about a year. And then I was thrown onto the floor very unexpectedly after being an assistant. But it was such a valuable time for me. The owner of the salon poured so much time and energy into my skill set and my education, which was wonderful. I went to New York for classes multiple times, and I really had a great assisting experience. And I worked in that salon for almost 4 years. I didn't do extensions. I had worn extensions, like the horrible, not the horrible. I don't want to say that they were the horrible kind. They were just the 2000s extensions. And I had been growing out that Victoria Beckham, like, bob haircut that everybody in the 2000s had at one point. And I ended up getting 20-inch extensions, but the individual ones, the keratin bonded ones.
That's just so much.
It's so much. And my hair is so thick that I needed like 300 to 500 of them. I don't remember how many I had, but it was so much hair to make it blend. And I still looked like a mushroom. Like, it was horrible. And I had the like bright blonde on top and then the black hair at the bottom. You know what I'm talking about?
You were working so many looks.
I was like, just, it looked so trashy. It was horrible. So I did that. I, you know, worked there for almost, I think it was almost 5 years. And I had gotten to a point where I just was like, is this all there is for me? Is this what my life and my career is going to look like? I come to work every day, not every day, I think I worked 4 days a week. I come to work and I do these women's hair. It's like small town hair. Not that there's anything wrong with small town hair, but I just remember thinking, this is all my life is going to be. And so I was unhappy. I was realizing how quote unquote booked and busy I was working for the salon, and my paychecks, I just didn't feel were reflecting that. Like, I'm as busy as I can possibly be here, and this is all I'm ever going to take home. This is all the money I'm ever going to make. And so I didn't know I was looking for something else, but kind of I was. And I ended up getting recruited through a connection that my sister had for a sales position at a corporate gym. And it was like my perfect way out at the time. And I was like, this is great. Like, I can leave. I had a no compete with that salon. So I was like, if I leave and I'm not doing hair, I'm good. And so I took this job. And Hannah, I hated it. I hated this job so much. It was horrible and amazing for me at the same time. I had to do 100 cold phone calls every day that I worked.
Yikes.
But I learned a lot about selling. I learned a lot about people's behavior when making purchases and how people make purchasing decisions. And a lot of those purchasing decisions are made from a place of emotion and not logic. And so it was just really, really interesting to be on that side of it. I never thought of selling things and how you sell yourself every day. And we do it with our hair and our jobs as is, but I never realized that there could actually be a strategy behind it. So it really opened my eyes up into the sales world. I worked there for about 6 months, and one of my girlfriends, she did lashes at the salon we had both worked at, and she reached out to me and she was like, hey, I'd love to get a drink with you. We haven't seen each other in a while. Let's catch up. And I'm like, cool. So we go sit down for a drink, and she was like, would you consider doing hair again? And I was like, yeah, I freaking hate my job. Like, it's horrible. And she's like, well, I think you should open your own space. Like, this is this is what I'm doing. She was renting a studio in like in a salon loft. And she said, I have clients that need their hair done. And it's like, I could refer a lot of business to you. And I was like, okay. So I go home and I am talking to my dad. And I just remember saying, Dad, like, I hate my job. I hate what I'm doing. And I loved doing hair. Like, it didn't feel like a job. It wasn't hard. And I didn't cry every day going to work. But I had no money. I had no savings. I lived at home with Ava. And I think I lived at home at the time. Maybe not. I don't remember. But I remember, no, I didn't live at home at the time. I was renting an apartment that my dad owned. And so I was like, I think this would be great, but I need help. And he was like, well, I could give you a loan to get all of your business stuff. And then you can just slowly start paying me back once everything is off the ground. And so I end up going and working at Salon Lofts, and they kind of hooked it up. Honestly, they let me have a few weeks of rent for free, and then they slowly increased it over, I think it was a 2-month period before I was paying full-time rent, because Hannah, I had nobody, and I was so scared that the salon I had left, I was still a few months remaining, I think maybe 6 months remaining on my no compete. I was so scared they were going to try to come after me. And I think I was even outside of my mileage, but I wasn't reaching out to clients. I just was posting on Facebook, and I think Instagram was around at the time, but I wasn't utilizing it for my business. And so I remember to get clients, I would put out there that I was doing 50% off any service that they booked with me. And at the time I would do men's cuts, cut and color, and like regular haircuts. I didn't really do kids hair. I guess if like my clients had kids, I would, but so it was like anything. I didn't do extensions. I didn't do obviously perms, that sort of thing. So it was any of those services. If they booked with me, I'd give them half off. And then if they sent a friend in, I would give them and their friend the same discount. I would give them it again and then their friend the same discount. And that was how I very painfully slowly started building my business. I remember I started my business in May. And when I go back and look at my numbers, it is the most painful thing to actually look at for the entire year with tips. The first, I guess it wouldn't have been a year. Would that have been what, 7 months? May to, or 8 months? So in 8 months, I made $15,000 the entire year. So when I tell you that I was poor, like I was so poor. I stopped paying my dad rent at where I lived. I couldn't be in one of my best friend's weddings because I couldn't afford to. Like when I tell you I had to sacrifice, I sacrificed. I never told my parents. I'm assuming my dad knew I was struggling because I couldn't pay rent to him. But like I couldn't afford to buy groceries sometimes. So we'd have to go over, Ava and I would have to go over there for dinner because I wasn't going to ask them for money. And but I had to feed my kid. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It was awful. But it's also one of the times I was the most thankful for in my entire life, because I learned, and one of the pieces of advice my dad had given me when I started my business was, Haley, you have to use the good times to prepare for the bad. And it taught me how to manage my money. And it taught, because at that point, anytime I would get paid, I was just going and blowing it. I was living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I would obviously pay my bills, but then anything that was left, I was going shopping, I was going out to eat, I was drinking, like all of the things. And it just really taught me you can't do that when you own a business. And I made such little money that I ended up getting a huge tax return the following year, which honestly proved to be a really pivotal point for me. And it almost felt like my business started turning around as well. I paid my dad back his loan, and I was getting scrappy. I think it was around this time I started using social media and Instagram more seriously. I started posting. I had made a friend through Instagram, and she was doing 100 days of house, which that doesn't sound like anything now, but at the time and with what social media was, that felt really crazy and weird to do. And this was in 2014, 2015. And I think, yeah. And I just slowly started posting my work, and I started seeing the result from it. I was emailing hotels. There was a client that had come in, and she was like, "Hey, I found you because of the hotel that I'm staying at." She just came in for like a blowout, but it gave me this idea. I emailed every hotel that I could find their like local, the one local to me, I could find a direct contact to. And I emailed all of them, and I just said, "Hey, thank you so much for referring business to me. My name is Lee." I introduced myself, and I just said, "As a thank you, I would love to offer you and anyone on your staff 50% off to come get their hair done with me." And I started building this like insane clientele from these hotel referrals, these hotel employees. And so it was great. But I was working like pretty much anytime a client would book, I was working. I thought I was going to have to get a second job. My dad talked me off the ledge with that one. He was like, "How many colors do you need, and how many haircuts would you need to offset what you would potentially make at another job?" He's like, "Haley, like if this is what you want, you have to put the time and effort into building it. Like it, and if you have a job that it's taking you away from building this, it's not going to be your focus." And so it was basically like, you have to sit in this shitty position and this suck in order to make this a business worth having. And he was 1,000% correct. And so I was at that salon for about 5 years, and my friend Shauna, who had gotten me to go to that salon loft, she came to me and she said, "Hey, I am opening a salon. Would you be interested in coming with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." We had a ton of mutual clients. And so it would make perfect sense for us to go. And that move ended up, it was again, like another pivotal shift in my career, moving locations. I increased my pricing significantly moving over there because we wanted it to be this high-end salon that people would come to. So I increased my pricing. I lost a few clients, but again, it was this shift, and I really had figured out the power of social media by this point. I was starting to be able to tie back posting on social media to these new clients that I was getting. The cool thing about these new clients, though, they were fun. They were people that I would hang out with, right? Like they were cool. They were young. They had great jobs. And we all clicked. And so social media was, I wouldn't say I was posting every single day, but it was a huge part in how I was getting new clients. So I moved over salons. I started booking out weeks in advance, and I think I was working, I think four or five days a week. And I was really content. And I was at this place where I wasn't being challenged with the work I was doing, though. It was like my clients could come in and they could show me a picture of hair they wanted, and I could realistically do that for them. And so this would have been 2017 that I moved over there. And I remember one of my clients, she was like, "Haley, I want extensions." And I was like, "Absolutely not. I hate extensions. They trashed my hair when I had worn them. And I don't want to do them. Absolutely not." And she was begging me on and off for months. And finally, I had a friend that did the, they were the I-tip ones. So you use the bead and not the keratin. And I said, okay, my girlfriend can put these in for you. I'll do your color. We'll like kind of make it a collaborative effort. And I remember posting it on Instagram and the response was amazing. Like people were like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. How do I get that? So I start getting extension inquiries. But I was like, if this is going to be something that I do, I have to find something that I like because I don't like the individuals. I don't like the keratin bonds. And I knew how to do all of them. It was just, I refused to. And I said, there has to be something different. And so that is where I started researching. I started looking for a different kind of extension. And that was when I had found NBR. And as you guys know, I'm very like, I'm not going to sit and promote any education or brand or company, but NBR played a really pivotal role in my extension career as the first thing that I invested in. And I can't speak to their education now. And I can't speak to their education now. So this isn't necessarily a promotion or a plug, but it was at the time we were in, it was really before extension education was even a thing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, it was, there was nothing like it.
No. And this is where Hannah and I paths cross through our NBR experience. So I find NBR online and I was like, what is this? This looks too good to be true. And that was something that my dad had always said. If it looks too good to be true, it usually is too good to be true. And I kind of thought it was fake. And their sales page was kind of schemey and just like weird. And so I went to go purchase a ticket to a class naturally, because I'm like, well, if it's a scam, like the only thing I'll be wasting is money. And I couldn't just go buy a ticket. And that was interesting to me. I had to fill out an application and it took me about 45 minutes to get through the whole thing. And I was at the end of it stressed. I'm like, do they even want me to come to this? Like, am I going to get accepted? Like, this is crazy that this is the length that I have to go to give them my money. And but you start now knowing what's happening, right? It's part of that sales process, right? It's part of the making you want to feel like you get accepted, like you get to join the club, right? And so they accept me. I do a phone interview and they're like, yeah, the ticket's yours. If you want to come, it's $3,000. And
which was so much money in 2016-17.
Oh, it was more money than I'd ever spent on education or honestly myself in for anything except for like bills, right? And so I was just like, I have to think about it. She was like, okay, that's, you can think about it. But she was like, just so you know, like I have like 10 more calls and I can't save your spot. You have to pay it in full. And so I ended up texting her a few hours later. I was like, okay, I'm in. And I think this was like June or July and the class was in August. And so I started, they had a pre-training process and it was just so new. And it opened my eyes to really the personal development world as well. They tied in personal development and business and then extensions. And I just remember feeling like this is so different than anything I've ever invested in. And going into it, I was like, if I just get like one or two clients from learning this, like, and I can get it to pay for itself that way, it'll be worth it for me. But it really allowed me to start thinking bigger. Because I don't know that I considered that I could become successful within the business that I already had, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't know hairstylists who made a lot of money and created a comfortable life for themselves within what they were doing, like within hair. Like it was like, oh, you're a salon owner or you're whatever. Like I just didn't know what was possible. And I also realized through that I wasn't living my life in a super intentional way, meaning I was just like going to work, and you know, like I made my life around work, and it's like, oh, client wanted in. Okay, like I'll sacrifice time with Ava. I'll sacrifice my weekends. I'll sacrifice my evenings so that I can get people in, right? I just never thought that I could build a business based on what I wanted. So it really opened my eyes to the potential. So we go out to California. I go by myself and I meet Hannah, and she forced her friendship upon me, which I'm forever thankful for. But it ended up being such an impactful weekend for me. They had an opportunity at the end of the weekend to continue on within their education. It was called Mastermind at the time. And you could continue on. It was $500 a month. That would also keep you inside of their community. And then it would also put you on their quote unquote certified stylist website. So I was like, oh, like if I get one client from that website, it pays for itself, right? So I decided to do the continuing education, and it only locked you in through the end of the year. So it's August. I'm going to go through December. And that weekend, I had zero clients, but I had started talking on Instagram about what I was going to do and going to learn in California. And I was shocked at the number of people who were like, I have been waiting for somebody in Columbus to offer this extension method. I've been looking everywhere for these extension methods. There was one person in Ohio, which was doing them out of the salon that Hannah was working at the time, offering them. And that's it. Nobody else. And so I then was like, well, join my wait list. I created this wait list for clients that didn't have. And I remember feeling so shocked that clients knew what this was and I had no idea, but I wasn't in the extension world at all. And so with this mastermind buy-in, I also could come back to another class for free, another class during that year, and not have to pay for it. And then I think it locked me into like their convention. I could get a free ticket to their big convention in December. So I felt like I was getting a lot for what I was investing in. And so I remember I came home and I started doing models, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I had to practice. I practiced every day. I had a mannequin in my home. I would bead and stitch a row every day. I remember there was one night I had worked super late. I'd gotten stuck at work. I don't think Ava was in school yet, so she didn't really like her bedtime schedule was kind of funky. So she probably was in school. Maybe it was on a break or something. I don't know. She was up really late with me, and I'm sitting at my dining room kitchen table crying because I'm so frustrated, but I had worked all day and I had a non-negotiable in my mind that I'm going to bead and stitch this row. And I'm crying, and Ava's like rubbing my arm, and she's like, Mommy, it's okay. And if you ask her about that to this day, she still remembers that. And
you know what's so funny? Sorry.
No.
It's like so funny to hear you say, I had a mannequin in my home. Like until you said that, like literally we had that, because that was normal, Haley. Like it's not normal now if you asked any normal extension stylist. Like, I mean, maybe with extension stylist, but to say the words like I had a mannequin, like not just like hanging out in the garage, like you had a mannequin that you left on the mannequin stand in your dining room. Like, because that's
1,000%.
But that's not normal. And it's so funny to hear you say that.
But it also, like, I think it's an important thing for people to realize, like, how much effort I was putting in outside of the salon to get good at this. Because it was like, this is more money than I've ever spent. I'm going to make this worth my time. I'm going to make this worth my money. And I was so afraid of hurting my clients, of ripping their hair out, because this was, again, like my hair had been trashed from extensions before. So I didn't want to recreate that on somebody else. So I slowly start building my clientele, and I had gone through my schedule because I was booked. And so I had gone through my schedule for the remainder of 20, and I had marked off which days I was going to take extension clients. And I made a promise to myself, like at first I was coming in on my days off because I didn't have room to put anybody anywhere. So I was like, had some weeks where I was working 6 and 7 days a week. And then once my, where I wasn't already booked, I was like, okay, so on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm going to do extension clients, or I'm going to get a new extension client. So I intentionally set it aside and I marked it. And I remember thinking, if I don't fill it, I'm not working. So it was like, I'm putting my pedal to the metal. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. And I ended up booking every open day that I had with extensions. And I just remember thinking, this is big. And they had talked about in our training, like, you can build just an extension clientele. But that was not where my mind was. But as I was watching what was happening, I was like, but this is actually possible, right? And I just remember the back half of, I had set a goal. I feel like I'm all over the place. Sorry. I had set a goal mentally in like September, I think. I was like, okay, my goal for next year in 2018, I want to bring in $100,000. Because up to that point, I don't know what my best year was, but it was like, I was on track for 2017 to still have my best year yet, but I was nowhere close to hitting $100,000 in revenue. And so I remember looking back at 2017 at the end of the year, and I did it on the back half of 2017. I crossed the goal that I had intentionally set for the following year. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. If I can do this in what, 5 months, 4 months, however long it was, what can I do with an entire year? So 2018, I then set out to intentionally, very intentionally start building up a clientele, knowing that I think I want to go and only do extensions. So I hired my first assistant at the end of 2017 with the goal of passing on my extension client or my color clientele to her sometime in 2018. And we worked like dogs. Bless poor Haley's heart. Like, she and I worked so much, but we did it. We built this incredible extension clientele. I over doubled 2017 in 2018. I increased by like 125% or something like that. Like, it was insane. And it was like, I couldn't believe it. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, I just cannot believe what I've been able to do here. So 2019, I decide to go extension exclusive. And I had left the MBR community in 2018.
I think it was at the end of 2018, because that's when I popped back in for a minute.
Okay. So I left at the end of 2018. And you guys, like, at this point, being involved in the community was like it. And it was, if you didn't do the kind of extensions that we did, like, you were a loser. And we made sure you knew it. And it was this culture of like, our education is better, I've spent the most. It was like this bragging right of how much you could spend on your education, how bought in you were. And they started really making some big shifts inside of the community, inside of their education. And I stopped finding the value in it probably halfway through the summer. And I just was like, I don't know what to do. But part of me was so scared to not be involved in the community because I thought I needed their name to back what I was doing. And it was also the time where they had said you had to use a certain brand of hair in order to be able to say that you're quote unquote doing MBR. So you're bought in on so many levels to the method, to the hair that you're using, because if God forbid you don't use the hair, well, I can't say I'm doing MBR, which now you say that and you're like, that sounds so ridiculous.
I think about it, I'm like, what was like the hair extension police gonna come like show up at the salon, or like state board hair extension gonna show up and be like, shut it all down, she's lying.
Yes, 1,000%. But like, for some reason, no, it makes no sense. And there was this like hanging fear that my extension business would crumble if I didn't have their name behind me. But I was just really feeling like I was spending $500 a month, and they were redoing what you had to do to be involved. Like, it was like they were kicking everybody out. You had to submit like a $2,000 application fee to reapply, to get approved, to then have to submit like 30 or 40 rows or something like that to be approved in your skill set, to be a part of the community. It was over the holidays. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not doing this. I'm out. So I left, but I remember my first Instagram post. And this, at this point, 2018, my Instagram was like day or night. Like, I posted every day. It was probably the most consistent I've ever been in anything in my life that year, and probably 2019 as well. But I knew, like, I could link back if I didn't make an Instagram post, if I skipped a post, like, I could link it back to other things happening. Or if I like took a week off, like 2 or 3 weeks later, I would have cancellations. So I found the power in social media, and I watched it and I paid attention to it. And so, but because I was so consistent with it, like, I knew what the correlation was. And it was really interesting. So I found the value in social media, and it really became a core thing that that I would never not do. And so 2019, I decided to go extension exclusive. I think I hired my second assistant there. I had passed my color clients on to Haley, and I was cruising, right? I was no longer in the community, but I was still doing MBR. And I would say halfway through that year, I had clients who were just like, I love these extensions, but I guess if I could change anything, I sometimes have beads that are visible. And so I hadn't really thought about learning another method. I didn't necessarily think I needed it, because I wasn't having issues, but I started having more and more clients say, these beads showing are an issue for me. And so I started hunting for methods where you couldn't see the beads inside of the method. So I found one, learned it. It was all an online certification. And it was, again, I was shocked at how hard it was, because I went into it so cocky, thinking like, I already do extensions, this is going to be a breeze. But there were so many different aspects of it that I wasn't aware of and just didn't know what to expect, that it was another huge learning curve. So it was hard. It was frustrating. Ava was my guinea pig. I would practice on her because I was like, if it doesn't hurt Ava, it won't hurt anybody else. Like, her scalp is so sensitive. So I learned it. I got quote unquote certified, but I ended up having a lot of issues with it. It added about an hour onto each of my rows. So it wasn't conducive with my schedule. And at that time I was seeing 3 clients a day. So I couldn't do that method on anybody unless they were my last client, or unless I wanted to run 2 hours behind. And so I wouldn't offer it unless clients specifically requested it, because I was like, this just is not time efficient for me. Their corners were slipping, and it was just this whole different level of frustration. And so I just was kind of, but my clients who had it, they were like, I really like it. Like, I really like that you can't see it. It grows out really well. And so I just was kind of like beat bopping around, like, hey, I'm open to learning something new, but I don't know what that would look like. And so I had a client at the time who, this was, I want to say fall of 2019. I had a client who was a hairstylist, or is a hairstylist, and she came and sat in my chair and she said, so I've been doing this thing, and I think that I want to show it to you. I'd love to get your feedback on it because we've been doing it in my salon and our clients have been really liking it. And I would love for you to just give me your thoughts, especially because she knew I was already doing a hidden method that I didn't really like. So she showed it to me. I think she sent me like a really blurry like iPhone video and it was long. So you couldn't really, it was so grainy. It was so hard to see and understand. And so I tried it on one of my clients and I put it in and I did it all wrong. And it ended up falling out like 2 days later. But she reached out to me and she said, I don't care what you have to do to figure out this method. Like it was so comfortable and like, please try it again because I really liked how it felt. And other than it falling out, it seemed great. So I was like, okay, like I'll try it again. So I, you know, was playing around with it. I started doing it on a few clients and I was telling my stylist client, like, hey, I think you have something really amazing on your hands. Like this is a lot faster than the other method that I was doing. And I think you should share this with other stylists. I think you could really genuinely help them. And she was just kind of like, are you sure? Like, you know, she had no, from what I understood at the time, she had no intention of sharing it with the world. And I was just like, I just think, I think you have something really cool. So she had asked if I would help her. You know, I really encouraged her to launch like some kind of an education. And I was like, I can help you. I said, but please know, like, this is your thing. I had started developing business coaching at the time and was putting a lot of time and effort into that. And so our kind of arrangement was, you know, I'll help you market it and you can teach your extension method and then I can help teach the business, any business kind of stuff. And then I can push people towards my business coaching basically was my idea. Cause along the way, Hannah and I had started recording a podcast and we, because we were getting so many questions from stylists and we were like, well, if we can build our extension business, anybody can build their extension business. You know what I mean? So it was just like this, we'd already put out a lot of free content to help other stylists, but I was still getting a lot of questions. And I was like, well, if I can build my business, I feel like I could help other people build their businesses as well. So this felt like a cool collaborative way to, I can help her. And then we can also like push people towards coaching. So I helped her plan a big class and it was this like, it was an invite class. And so I was like, let's reach out to some stylists. Cause I had been talking a ton on social at this point about it and about just how it had helped, what the benefits were for me, for my business. And I, we planned this class and it ended up being way bigger than I think either of us thought it would be. We had agreed that I would be paid a certain percentage of each ticket for my role there. And the class just, I don't know that it was what we were expecting it to be. I don't know that it was what the stylists were expecting it to be. I mean, I had a lot of fun there, but it just, the education launched, in my opinion, too soon. And again, I was like, this isn't my thing and I don't want it to be my thing. So I'm happy to help you, but like, this is yours. And so time kept kind of chugging along. I was building my coaching program. COVID shut the world down. This was the start of 2020, right?
Yeah.
So this was the start of, no, wait, I'm backwards. No,
2021.
This was 2021. Yeah. So I guess this is all like in maybe fall of 21 or 20 that I learned about what she was trying to teach, or what she was, the method she was trying to do. So 2021, I am kind of helping with some of the classes, not really helping on like the back end, but I was having a lot of students reaching out to me, and a lot of students just with questions and concerns and things that I was like, listen, like this isn't mine to help you with. I can help you in other areas, but this is not mine. And so, and I think this is where you guys obviously know where I stand method wise, but I realized pretty quickly being involved that this was not a community that I had a lot in alignment with our values. And it just got to a point where, and I had told her from the beginning, if this becomes too much for me, I'll let you know. And I'm going to bow out. Said that from the beginning. And she had said that from the beginning, like, if it gets to be too much, bow out. So I start just slowly pulling myself back. And I just knew it wasn't something I wanted to be involved in. And then there were a few things that had happened that I just was like, I'm absolutely done here. And it didn't end well on either a personal or a professional level. And it just really solidified my own feelings about being tied to a method, right? I had done it. This was my third time doing it, where I immersed myself so deeply in what another company was doing. I was pushing their business. I was tagging their brand. I was pushing this hair brand. I was, you know, three times. And each time what I found was it was so hard to unwind, especially with my clients, what I was doing, where they're like, well, why is this method better? Why is this method better? And then I have always been so open with my journey through social media. It then became rocky when you're learning and sharing and pushing something else, right? So it's like, well, why are you switching? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And with this last one, it didn't end well. And I was like, how do I don't feel like I can talk about this. I don't want to end up in a lawsuit. And I was sent multiple cease and desists throughout this time after I left working with this company. And it's like, how can I, you know, talk about the experience that I had and not, because that was like the nail in the coffin for my feelings of working with somebody else's brand and somebody else's company, especially because there never was any money exchanged here. I ended up losing money being involved with the education that I was, within travel expenses and that sort of thing. So, you know, it never ended up even faring out how it was agreed upon, which is fine. It was a really, really valuable lesson on so many levels for me. I learned how important it is to align yourself with the people that you want to do business with. And even if it's in a collaborative way, like, are your values in alignment? Do you look at life the same way? Do you look at people the same way? And if you don't, it might not be a great partnership to move forward in. And then it was just this other lesson of like, why am I spending my time pushing my community towards something that I don't know what their experience is going to be inside of it? And it's not something that I can control, right? And so I went through this about a year time span of guilt, of feeling this immense guilt that I was pushing something that I had no control over, and I didn't want control over, and I didn't want. And so it was just my nail in the coffin. And I'm the type of person, I have to learn lessons a couple times before they stick. And it finally did it for me. And so we're at this point now where through social media, through sharing my own journey of what extensions have done for me, it's opened up these amazing opportunities to help stylists change their business, not necessarily on a technical side, but on the things that actually made a really deep impact for me too, specifically a mindset shift, learning how to price your services, learning the ins and outs and the inner workings of social media, and really focusing and honing in on who your ideal client is, how you talk to them, how you connect with them, and how to make social media fun, right? And so coaching became a pretty big thing for me in the beginning of 2021, and it's just slowly expanded from there. But it wasn't a position I would have ever thought I would be in. I didn't expect to ever build an extension clientele, let alone help other stylists build an extension clientele, because again, I initially bought into to get my money back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it was like an accident, but it also was like, I just followed what felt right. You know what I mean? For myself. And I trusted my gut and I trusted my intuition. And I work 2 days a week now. I see two clients a day. On my days at home, I'm working with other stylists on building their business, focusing their social media strategies. And I also, I get paid through Instagram now, which is really fun and really cool. So there's a lot of, you know, things that have changed over the years. And I credit social media so much to what it's helped me do, right? It really, putting myself out there was probably, even on top of the investment of investing in my education, it was probably the best thing I could have done for my business. It allowed me to start building my own personal brand. It allowed people to start getting to know Haley as Haley. And through sharing those vulnerable moments in my business and my struggles and, excuse me, what I went through, what worked, what didn't work, it has afforded me not just a career I never could have pictured, but a lifestyle I could have never pictured. And it's opened up doors that I just would have never thought possible. And so I didn't go into business thinking I was ever going to do extensions. I hated them. And it's been 5 years. And it took me a year and a half to go extension exclusive, but it's been one of the hardest things I've done. And I've had to learn so many hard lessons. I've learned so much about myself. I work with a mentor still to this day. I have been working with him for about 2.5 years, and he has really, he's helped me so much in my business, but he's helped me on a much deeper personal level. He's helped me work through, you know, those hard moments inside of like all of those hard things I've had to deal with along the way. And just, it's been so amazing to, I think that has been honestly my biggest takeaway, right? It's like, with business, I've learned so much about myself through the journey. Like, the business has just been the vehicle to making the changes in my personal life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a really cool way to look at it too, is that you and your business are not necessarily the same thing, but you're both on like a forward, positive like track together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know that I would be in this position had I never like went out on my own, started doing my own thing, right? Like you have to figure it out for yourself. And I don't know. It's been really cool. It's been fun. It's been hard. It's been frustrating. It's been painful, but worth it. And there isn't anything that I would go back and change, except maybe. No, I wouldn't even change it because I needed to learn that lesson on my own. I was going to say, except maybe tying myself so deeply with these extension brands. But I think you don't know until you know. You know what I mean? Because I went from being like the extension bully, like if you don't do MBR, you're the worst. And then going and educating for a company that, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, this has proved to be not a good decision every single time, but each time it just got progressively harder. You know what I mean? Like, I could have learned it the first time when I just got out and it was just like, I'm done. And nobody cared. Like, nobody hit me up. Nobody followed through with me. Nobody made passive aggressive social media posts. You know what I mean? Like, nobody came at me. Which is why I think a lot of people are nervous to leave, right? They're like, they're going to talk about me. They're going to say this. They're going to do that. None of that happened until the very end. And it's like, well, this has been the worst one. Like, you have to figure out how you, like, I had to learn it and it had to be really, really hard in the end. But I am thankful for it at the end of the day because it taught me a lot about myself and who I want to surround myself with.
I think it's the, you know, our society, as far as like tying yourself to a brand or to an idea, oh, man. I think our society, you know, we're raised like that from the beginning. I mean, you think about religion or neighborhoods or schools that we go to or brands of clothing that we wear, you know, they all represent something that we're trying to tell the world about ourselves.
Yeah.
That we have little to no control over. So I think, you know, once you have enough experience in life, you develop a certain level of maturity and accountability for yourself and just self-esteem and confidence too, that allows you to start to like pull away from these loud, you know, business and marketing like conglomerates that are in every single pocket of life. Yeah. And you start to kind of just allow yourself to be who you are. But that requires, like you said, a really, really high level of personal accountability within your own values. And, you know, it requires you to really believe in your own self.
1,000%. And I think that's what I've realized, especially now, like building a coaching, quote unquote, business, right? Like, it's so much easier to attach yourself to somebody else, right? Like, it was so easy to have MBR's name to back my business because it validated, right? It was validating. And then to have it, actually, I don't want to say that. I don't know. It's harder to walk on your own. It's a lot harder to walk on your own.
And to take responsibility for, you know, back in the day when you were sold in or I was sold into MBR and that was how we represented ourselves and our value and our work. If something went wrong ultimately with a client, you know, obviously we were to blame, it was our work, but it's so much easier to be like, well, that's how MBR taught me to do it, so you know, if you don't like it, it's your problem, or it's NPR's problem, or it's whatever. But you separate yourself, you know, if you make a mistake or if you have to troubleshoot through a technical skill with a client, or if you have to even backtrack and have a conversation with a client about something, you know, you might have made an oopsie doopsie on, then like that's harder. You know, it's harder to be like, hey, I made an oopsies and I'm really sorry and I didn't intend for this to be how it turned out, but like how can I make this right, or how can I do better, or you know, that's really hard to do.
Yeah. It's almost the same thing as like you go in and you work for a commission style or commission salon, right? And it's like you come in, you do your job, you go to work, and then that's it, versus like starting your own business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Or being in a relationship where you have good communication, or trying your hardest to be a good parent where you can, you know, be like lead by example instead of just telling, you know, a kid or a partner what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard. And it does require us to be honest with ourselves, which is the hardest thing, because I think we also have to admit that like in the past and in the future, we're going to make mistakes, and then we're going to have to like admit we're not perfect, and you know, that we stumble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I ultimately think it's the most rewarding too, because then when you do have a consistent period where you are really, you know, crushing it, or like everybody's super happy with your work, or the time that you've put in to really develop a skill, it's like it feels that much better too, because you know it's on you and you know the truth about that. And also too, I think it helps kind of like corner our ego into the right place and realize that like ego's good sometimes, you know, like it has a place, but like also you can fall a lot faster than you think you can, so like don't lead with your ego on things, you know, like
yeah,
kind of maintain more of like an even space in most situations.
1000%. I do agree. And I think overall, like, you want to support too, right? Like, if you're doing something, Hannah, like, I want to support you as your friend. And that's where, okay, like, let me pause what I'm about to say really quick. I think through all of this, and I know I keep talking about social media, but social media is just, it's changed my life, you guys. And I don't think we understand the power in it, because I don't think our industry is, I think we're a little bit behind other industries with how social media is utilized. And I have really learned the value of building community and building audience on this platform, or on Instagram at least. Because they're like, I will always have now a community of people who, no matter what direction I decide to go in life, if I shift something, there's an audience that is connected with me on like a deep personal, more personal level than just quote unquote the hair that I'm doing, right? And I have learned how valuable that is. I learned how valuable a presence and the voice that I have and the reach that I have and the quote unquote influence. Like, some people want to use influence as this dirty word, but it's just a reality. I learned the power in it, and I've learned what I want to use it for. and how I want to utilize it. But I also have recognized that it's valuable to other people as well. And knowing that you can, one, build a business, but you can help build someone else's business through your community and your network, and what you have built is valuable to someone else. And so that's where it, like, I've taken a stand for myself. Like, I know, and I hate, like, the know your worth, like, blah, 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 whatever. But I've found that through the time and the consistency that I've put into curating social media, I've been able to find that, where it's like, there's a difference between supporting your friends and someone taking advantage of what you've built, right? Like, and that's, I think, what a lot of these extension companies, even hair brands, I don't think they, like, I think they've learned to take advantage of that. And those have just been really pivotal things and takeaways from my own experience, that it's shifting how I'm going forward in life and in business.
I think you're a really good example, too, of when we think about hair brands, or methods, or any type of education within hair or the hair extension industry. I think you're a great example of, we as stylists don't need them. They need us. So, like, if you stop kind of, like, thinking that, like, there's, it's like, we have to stop, like, pandering or worshiping these brands, thinking they're going to prop us up, because they will if they find us valuable, you know, and thinking that that's the ultimate, like, goal, because, number one, clients don't care about that for the most part, or clients who are going to be good clients to you shouldn't care about brands or methods. But then, like, turning the power back inward and realizing, totally, you know, you're the valuable one, but, like, you are the valuable one as a stylist if you've put the right amount of, you know, time and work into your own business and your own yourself, you know, as a human.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Life is, it's fun, and it's definitely not boring. And
your journey is very relatable. I mean, obviously not every step of it is something we've all experienced, but I definitely think, you know, from where you started and what you had going on in your life and being a young mom and going through the financial ups and downs that you've been through, I definitely think people who are listening can take a lot, like, have a lot to relate to. I don't know anybody. Well, maybe I know one person, but I don't know really that many people that start doing hair and they're just, like, really balling out from the beginning. You know, it's kind of something you have to be passionate about to, like, grow into.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. I don't know. It's, I think, like, the thing that I've always enjoyed is, like, the human, the connection with other people and, you know, the confidence that it gives. And, like, but I've also realized you can do that in so many aspects, right? In so many other ways. But hair has been a really fun way to do that. So I think it's given me a vehicle to make people be the best version of themselves. And that's something that I've really realized that I love doing. I love helping people, like, they have this, like, idea in their head and then they're like, I could never do it. And I'm like, yes, you can. Like, that's what I love. And you can do that with hair extensions and how they feel physically about themselves. and I'm able to do it with business coaching, right? But it's like hair has given me that vehicle to, that's the piece of hair that I love. It's not necessarily the actual like hair itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So.
Totally. Well, thank you for sharing your normal stylist to successful stylist story. And you are very normal and extraordinary all at once.
Oh, thank you. So are you. I can't wait to for you to tell yours.
Yeah, I will. I'll share that on our next episode. And that way everybody gets like a little bit of a refresh about who we are, where we started from. And yeah.
Love it.
All that good stuff.
Thank you so much, Hanny Banani. I just love you so much.
Ugh, I love you. Have a happy new year. And yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm gonna tell you no matter.